Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast with Jason Wilkins. Life, art, marketing, and all the deliciousness in between. Here we go.
Went into like technical difficulties. So.
Oh, for sure. Okay, we're live. Deal
with it. Oh, okay, awesome.
That's how I like to do it. I just surprise
just
people.
Jump right in.
Surprise.
Okay, yeah, here we are.
So this is, I'm going to fix my mic. So this is episode 14 of the Art Burrito Podcast. And I'm really excited today to have on Sebastian.
Hello, hello, hello.
Sebastian, what's your last name?
Urquhart Belligan. It's a doozy. It's a long one. Yeah.
Yeah. Or people can... you're on Instagram as Burger Face.
BRGR Face. That's me.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So this is great because I don't even know. It was through Instagram for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
But then maybe the art school too.
Yeah.
I think because I had Jenny on. Mm-hmm. I think she mentioned you. I can't really remember, but I'm so glad I did find you. Mm-hmm. Because your work is like just ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. It's taken me so long to understand how to take compliments and I'm just now getting used to it.
Yeah. I'm not great at it either. I'm still a little bit weird about it.
Yeah. I'm shaky with it. I don't know.
But you should recognize like your stuff is great.
Thank you.
And you're using, Procreate.
Yes.
And so we'll dive into that a little bit too, because that's what I use for like 98% of my stuff. Mm-hmm. Technology and art now it's literally the best time to be alive as a creative.
Yeah.
It's just bananas. Like there's a million different things you can do with digital and, it just opens so many doors.
Do you find it hinders your work at all in any way?
Sometimes because I like the, because I just jump back into like traditional acrylic on canvas painting, right?
Sure, yeah.
So there's still, you're still missing that, that little bit of that feel of traditional material.
Absolutely.
And I wish sometimes I could get that more authentically in digital. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they do a good job. Yeah. I mean, Apple did a crazy good job on that.
With their pencil. And what I do with my iPad too is I put like a matte surface on top, so it really feels like a sketchbook.
I was going to do that, and yeah. I just for some reason haven't. I've just gotten used to it the way it is.
I guess. But I think it's worth it though. It's like $10 for a screen.
Yeah.
And it just feels a lot more like a sketchbook. It's
awesome. Yeah, and I have the Wacom Intuos, which is
the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That has that same feel as well, right? Yeah, which I really like. Okay, so, by the way, this is, again, brought to you by Publican.
Yes.
But everybody should know that it is now 9:42 a.m. So we haven't broken. I mean, it's not to say that it won't happen.
Yeah,
but we haven't broken. Yeah, we're having a tea and coffee. And we might break into one. Who knows?
I am 100% down to break into a beer at some point.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not really a morning drinker. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, well, could be fun.
That was a good time for a beer.
So tell me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're brought to you by Publican. Yeah. Thanks, Publican. Tell me, I always ask people their origin story. Mm-hmm. So go back as far as you'd like.
Okay, yeah.
And talk about you.
Okay. I'm not really sure where to start. So I was born and raised in Toronto. I lived in the beaches with my mom for about 12 years.
What? I lived in the beaches.
You lived in the beaches? I love the beaches.
Queen of McLean.
Yeah, nice. I was up, I can't even remember the street name, near Williamson. I don't know if you're familiar with the area.
A little bit. Like, we lived there for 3 years.
Okay.
2010 or 11 to 2013, late 2013, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was there for 12 years. My mom's an architect, so I grew up around very technical drawings, a lot of very like, you know, bust out the ruler, bust out all that stuff.
Yeah.
To really hone in her drawing process. So I was kind of curious as a kid to see, you know, making a career out of something that to me seemed more fun and artistic a little bit. Obviously for her, it wasn't as fun. It's like a grueling process. It can be, especially with architecture. It's math, right?
Yeah.
So I grew up around that. And then I moved out quite young. I moved out when I was 12 to live with my father. And then I moved out again when I was 15 with a friend. And then 16, I got my own place. And really, I had no interest in art at the time. You know, I was...
Did you draw as a kid then?
Yeah. I mean, I did a lot of drawing as a kid. And everybody kind of recognized that with me. Like, oh, she likes to draw. Oh, she doesn't like sports. She doesn't like that kind of stuff. She was like always into drawing, you know.
Yeah.
So that was always me as a kid. But I never really... got into it. I never really took it seriously. People would always tell me, like, get into it, sell your work, do this, do that. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna.
That was me in a nutshell too, because I come from a massive hockey family.
Oh gosh.
So I was like, I was the major black sheep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I just zero, like, I mean, zero, my minus 20% interested in like any kind of sports at all. So I same here.
I just got into basketball and I love it so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, trying to dabble a little bit because I never did anything like that as a kid. But yeah, so I moved out when I was quite young. I was about 16 when I got my first place, which is like the legal age in Peterborough. So from Peterborough, and then I lived in a tiny town in Norwood. And then I only stayed there for a couple of years. And then Peterborough was kind of the in-between. You know, I was kind of familiar with Peterborough, but I never lived there on my own. And I was like, well, screw it. You know, let's go. Let's find a tiny town to start up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I actually wanted to go into like a social service related industry because I felt like I was helped so much growing up by so many people that didn't even understand my situation really at the time. But the fact that they were willing to like arms open, just bring me in and help me out was like so incredible. So I thought, oh, I want to do this so badly. Like screw art. I was not into art whatsoever until quite recently. But I realized really quickly that a lot of people aren't really as thankful, you know, as you would expect. And so that kind of bummed me out a little bit. And I was around 18 or so. And I thought, well, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm not into it. I didn't like it as much as I expected to. And then I was like, well, I got to find something. I've been drawing for this many years. I like drawing a lot. A lot of people told me I was good at it. So I was like, I guess I'll
give it a go.
I guess I'll give it a go. Yeah. And I've just been at it ever since.
How old are you now?
21.
21.
Yeah. It's a young age. I know.
Yeah. You know my son, I think, by the way, too.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I went to school with your son. Yeah.
Wow, 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, so you're just, that's what floors me because, so it's a natural talent. I mean, clearly. What kind of, have you had any kind of
schooling
other, formal training? No.
No, I don't. I mean, I would enjoy that process. I'm sure I would like to go to school, but I'm really in a trajectory where I'm just so past school in a way. I don't want to say I'm past school with my technical abilities, but like in my brain, I've kind of got, you know, where I want to be, where I want to go. And school would kind of just get in the way of that a little bit.
It can. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Because your concept, like your like the way you deal with color in your art and stuff like that is, I mean, it's amazing. Thank what's your inspiration? Like, where do you, do you follow anybody that kind of like
follow anybody? I used to follow a lot of people on Instagram, but nowadays I don't know, because when I first started to gain a bit of a following, I was looking and reaching out so much to see other content creators and thinking like, oh, where do I want to draw my inspiration from? And I felt like it really just hindered my ability to make my own decisions and think for myself a little bit. I know that sounds kind of odd because a lot of the time people draw from other creative sources. But for me, like I was trying so hard to capture a different art style. I was trying so hard to replicate art styles that I really, really loved, you know? Mm-hmm. And I found it just got in the way of my stuff. Like I've learned now that just to create everything authentically yourself is so important. And it's, you know, you're going to be so burned out if you try to like hone your abilities around other people's
stuff. It's so distracting. Mm-hmm. It's taken me a long time to kind of get that in my brain as well. Mm-hmm. Where like if you... And I spoke to Sam, who's the photographer we were talking about on the last podcast. I kind of keep my blinders up. Because I get too distracted. Mm-hmm. So I follow like a couple people that I really think are amazing. Mm-hmm. Again, not just like you know, I want to be them, but I admire sort of their process and like the stuff they're doing. And
there is one artist that I've admired for a long time. I don't really know if he influences my work too much. His name is Kim Jung-gi.
Okay.
He's a Korean artist.
Yeah.
He's in the US quite frequently as well. I was so sad because I was in Korea for a little bit and I missed the time that he was like.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram. I think you were there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of like, oh, you know, maybe I could tour around, you know, his inspiration a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was kind of bummed out that I missed him.
Yeah, yeah. So him, and then I guess other than that, it's just been you. Like you just everything that you're creating is.
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, I always like I have a lot of followers on Instagram that are in the art game a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I love to follow smaller people that post, you know, a couple things a week. I even find like the smaller artists tend to be more prolific in terms of posting their art. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I capture stuff from their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I like to stalk people that follow me. I'm like, ooh, you know?
I do that too. It's fun.
Yeah.
You have a good following too.
So not bad.
So how did that come about? Did people just start seeing your work and then they're just like, hey, you know?
I posted something that was kind of related to media, kind of related to this other creator, and it just sparked a following. And from then, that's kind of when I realized, oh, you know, I should post more of my art.
Yeah.
It seems to be getting like a good.
Are you doing any kind of paid ads or anything?
Ads at the moment, no. I've been offered some ads before.
Yeah.
But I feel like the stuff that I want to promote, you know, I want it to reflect the stuff that I'm into. And if I'm, you know, promoting a shitty product, then I'm not.
Yeah,
not there.
I've been approached a couple times, but as far as have you thrown any money at your own stuff, like your own?
Oh, sure. Yeah, a couple times. Yeah. It's not too bad. I mean, I feel like it gets
mine's hit and miss too. Like I've had some good ones, and then, but I think that's, you know, to grow a following now, because a lot of things now are pay for play.
Oh yeah.
So like you almost have to. Because their algorithms changing. Mm-hmm. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm.
Blah blah blah.
I know, you hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've done that a little bit, just to gain a little bit more of a following. But
yeah, that aspect is pretty good. Like promoting yourself is not too bad. I tend to find that if you're reaching out to different platforms, that is like the most beneficial. So if you're posting on different social media at the same time, it kind of gathers a better following.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done too much of it. A lot of it's organic so far, which has been nice.
Cause your stuff's freaking awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So the art school. So how did that come about? Cause I have my own interesting story about teaching at the art school.
Can I hear your story?
Well, yeah. So I got out of, so I went to Sheridan for illustration and then, came out, and as we all did, we thought like we were the shit. Like, soon as you come out of art school, you think that's it. I'm going to make it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've said this before, but I told a friend, I remember clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Greg, he's like, yep. I said, I'm never going to work a real job ever again in my life.
Yeah. You're like, this is it.
I spent the next like forever in working in a call center.
Oh yeah.
So which is great.
I almost worked in a call center. I'm so glad I rejected that job. I was
I had Sam at the time.
Yeah.
He was like 2-1 year
old. Kids though. How many kids do you have?
Four
friggin' kids.
I have four kids.
Yeah. Those dudes. I feel like
So I had to do that when I got at art school. But anyway, long story short, came back to Peterborough and then Richard was the one who started the art school.
Right. Yeah.
And I walked in with promo material that we were told to do in art school. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure you leave and you have some solid promo material.
Mm-hmm.
All printed, of course,
because
computers were not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked in and I showed him. I did this. It was like it was around Christmas. So I did a Santa Claus card and it was a foldable one. And I illustrated it. So you fold it down.
Did he pop out?
And you can see, you can see his bare ass.
Oh, nice.
Like hanging out. And it said, hope your Christmas is full of surprises.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
So like he saw that. He's like, do you want to teach? I'm like, sure. So that was my story. Yeah, and then I spent like, I don't know, 10, better part of a decade teaching there on and off.
Oh my gosh.
So
That's a good chunk of time.
A lot of changes going on there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jenny's done a wicked job.
Yeah. Jenny's incredible.
So tell me your story.
Okay, so I worked in an industry, in the restaurant industry rather, for a good chunk of time, about like 3 years or so. And then my boss at the time He commissioned me to do a mural at the front of Madoy Sushi. I don't know if you know where that one is.
No.
Brock and George. Yeah, it's just on the corner there.
I think my wife wants to go there.
Probably, yeah. Everyone, I feel like. Yeah. Just, there's so much clutter around that restaurant. But yeah, so he commissioned me to do initially a mural at the front. And then he was opening a new restaurant, Tora, the one that's right beside the art school.
Okay.
And he asked me to do a ton of these really big ink pieces. I ended up doing them on drywall because he was like, I need a cheap medium. And I was thinking, oh, shit, what does ink absorb into? Like, what can I, you know?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, drywall technically has a layer of paper. Let's just do it on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, I like it. Let's do it. I had very little time to do those because I was like, right before I was leaving for Korea, he was like, okay, you got a week and then you're gone for a month. So like, help me out a little bit. And then I think I spent like 2 weeks total working on like 10 of those massive pieces. Not all of them are up in the restaurant. But so Jenny, I think her mail got misplaced. And because it's right beside, she went in to give them, you know, or like grab the mail or something. And so she was like, oh, shit, who did these paintings up on the walls and reached out to me. And yeah, so my best friend was working there and she mentioned me and kind of got me hooked up over there. So
meant to be.
I guess so. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like your school.
Yeah, I love stories like that.
Mm-hmm,
just kind of happy accidents.
Kind of a coincidence. And I wasn't really looking for another job. I was still working at the restaurant at the time, but I think it gave me a good in because, you know, I've been in Peterborough for like 5 years now, but I never really got involved in the community so much. So it was a nice, you know, I don't spend a lot of time dedicated there. So it's nice to kind of balance a little bit of time there teaching. And then nowadays I don't even work, you know, I'm not in a full-time or, you know, like an industry job anymore. I'm just doing art full-time. So it's a nice balance. Yeah.
That is wicked.
Yeah. It's fun.
Community involvement.
It's essential.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge. So what,
like, oh, sorry.
No, go.
I was going to say, I feel like I kind of almost bypassed that a little bit because I got so much of a following just from all the way around the world. Right. So I never really thought, oh, I should really focus on the city that I'm living in, you know? Sorry to cut you off.
But. No. That's a great point because I do so much work in Toronto that when I'm home, I'm just usually just in the studio doing my thing. Mm-hmm. And then you get sidetracked and you think, oh man, like in Peterborough has been amazing to me.
Oh yeah.
So it's just one of those things where you just feel like you got to do it. And
there's
you
so much out there too.
Yeah.
I always knew that there was like a huge thriving art community in Peterborough, but I never like delve too much into it. I did one art show in Peterborough a couple years back, kind of at the end of high school. And I mean, that was fun, but I just.
Downtown is a hotbed, man.
Oh yeah.
Like for art, it's just like, well, the Commerce Building, as you know, like there's art studios all in here. Mm-hmm. So lucky.
It's
like
impressive.
So lucky.
Yeah.
So how long have you been teaching? You just started?
Oh yeah. Just started. Yeah. So I was there in the summer as well, but I did like a marketing position. It wasn't so much hands-on with the teaching.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice though, cause I could just be in the office and kids kind of gravitated to me cause they, I didn't have to discipline anybody. Right. So they're just like, oh, there's this nice lady. She's in the back. You know?
Yeah.
I would like give them granola bars and stuff. They love me. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I'll teach in the summer or after the summer too. So
So are you liking it so far?
Yeah. I really like it so far. It's really taught me to kind of, examine my own work a little bit too. It's hard. You kind of forget how intricate the drawing process is until you like take a step back and realize, you know, teaching from the bare bones of art, you know?
Yes, totally. It does. It forces you to go back to basics.
Yeah.
Like you have to, because so often, like I'll do stuff and be like, I have no idea how I would tell somebody to do this because I've been doing it so long that it's like, oh yeah. So that's, I love that. And another cool thing is I recently had, cause I had taught there for so long, I had students come to me and say, you know, now I'm in the animation program. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So you don't realize how that ripples down through the years. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's, I miss it 100%. Yeah. I miss it. The time gets in the way sometimes.
It's teaching me a lot though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is the issue. Totally.
Time was the issue.
Yeah. So we started to break into this conversation before we got on, but, so digital versus traditional material for art, right?
Yeah.
And excuse anyone who's listening, we're probably going to geek out here for a moment. So because of when I went to school, everything was traditional mm-hmm. materials, you know, charcoal, acrylic, oil, blah, 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 all that good stuff. And then when I got out of school, I had to reteach myself because we dabbled in Photoshop, but it was so new that we didn't really get to really experience its full potential.
It, yeah.
So, so then of course over the years and then, you know, fast forward to now, you know, I've been out of school for art school for 20 years, almost 20 years. So and I'm loving where everything's going. So I think it's important that we kind of realize like these things are tools, right? But to have that foundation is like, you know, you have to have that, right?
Absolutely.
So you said you got, you do get some pushback.
Yeah, a little bit. But for me, like I really started traditionally. I got my first drawing tablet though when I was quite young. So I was around eight and I was just begging my parents like, oh, I need a drawing tablet so badly. And it really opened a lot of doors for me.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. And to be so young and to grow up around that technology.
That would have been, oh my God.
It was very immersive.
Love that.
Yeah, it's cool. So that really gave me the in to play around with color and to play around with that sort of stuff too and really get a grasp for it from a young age.
Yeah.
It's so different. From, you know, something like oil painting where you have to wait for stuff to dry for so long and then you can't really build color. You don't want to do wet on wet kind of thing.
I always sucked at oil painting. Everything I used to do looked like mud at the end.
Oh, it's hard. Yeah, it's really hard.
Because you mix the colors the wrong way and everything's brown.
Everything's just lump. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get into. But so I kind of started traditionally. Like I started, you know, just like most kids do, pencil and piece of paper is just a lot of scrap pages from wherever.
Yep.
I would just like steal my mom's printer paper and draw on that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I always try to teach my kids these days too that you really, it's such a different medium, you know? You really have to get a feel with traditional work to kind of swing into digital a little bit because it does really feel different.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times people that work primarily in digital work can't really transition over to, you know, traditional mediums as well. So that can be tricky. I have gotten some pushback from people. I remember I had a student that came up to me and was just like I had my drawing tablet there. I had some free time and I was working on a commission and they were like, well, digital art's not real art and, you know, it's a hack. And I was like, well, do you want to try to work in my tablet? Because it's just a totally different medium. There's so much in the program to learn. There's so much about layers to learn, all that good stuff. So it's just its own thing, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy that, because, sorry, who said that to you?
It was just a student, just a random student came up to me and I was like, oh, heck, okay.
That's weird because, again, we live in a time where, you know, that's where, you know, you look anywhere and it's all, it's digital. So
you would think somebody so young would kind of.
Yeah. So art would be the, but I was saying as well, before we got on that, like, you know, I went to school with illustrators who felt the same way.
Yeah.
And, this was just as, like I said, as computer technology was coming in and they're like, like, you know, traditional material, that's the way it should always be,
sure,
you know, and again, that feeling like you're a hack if you work digitally, it just doesn't make any sense anymore. It just doesn't. That said, like when I go back to painting, it feels like you're going home. Like it feels right. And it feels the sense of satisfaction you get from like traditional materials is great.
Yeah.
But as far as efficiency and, you know, color choices and brushes and whatever, you just can't compete.
Exactly.
So
especially I feel like on Instagram it's such a matter of keeping the ball rolling and keeping uploading content as much as possible. And when you're competing, if you were to do, you know, oil paintings, you can maybe upload once a month kind of thing.
Good point. Yeah. And I follow artists who are traditional painters.
Sure, yeah.
And they're working like, I don't know how they do it. They work around the clock.
It's insane.
I couldn't do that because, you know, I have kids and stuff. I just, and I like sleep. So I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it full time because it just doesn't make any sense for my work. Right. So yeah.
And with content creating as well, like you really need to just keep on your game and keep uploading, keep the kind of process rolling a little bit. Keep people entertained, you know?
Yeah. So. That is part of the new world where you have, if you want to provide value for your viewers or for people looking at your social, you just have to keep putting it out there.
Absolutely. So. It's difficult in a way because I work from home these days primarily. And it's really hard to separate, you know, coming home and being home rather than coming home and working.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find an in-between. I'm sure with a studio nowadays, like you have such a beautiful studio, you can kind of get in that working zone.
I worked at home for a number of years. Yeah. And then when I made the switch to this full time, then I was like, I need to feel like I'm going to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and absolutely. Yeah, I get too cozy at home. So you're like,
it's not even that actually for me. It's more like I can't relax at home. Like if I'm watching a movie, I'm working while I'm watching a movie. If I'm, you know, I'm always just multitasking and I never have a moment to just.
Oh shit. I'm the opposite. I relax too much
really?
At home. So I'll be like, I'll be like, maybe I'll just one more episode of Friends.
Yeah.
One more episode of Friends.
No, I can't. I'm always like, if I'm watching something, I have to be working at the same time.
Yeah.
Or if I'm listening to something, same thing.
Like, yeah. That was actually one of my questions for you too. Cause we touched on it before. Music influences what I do in a major way, which is weird because I didn't grow up like, a massive music fan. Like I just kind of listened to whatever inspired me at the moment. So now it's like a lot of like hip hop and stuff.
Hip hop. Yeah.
Same for you.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the time I would say so. People are always kind of surprised. I love like Chinese rap or like international rap. I think
that's cool though.
Well, yeah. Cause it's just totally different. It's just foreign, obviously.
But, yeah.
It's, you focus more so on like the tempo of the music rather than the lyrics themselves, which can be kind of fun in a way.
Yeah. It's like, I listened to, and then I started because I listened to Joe Rogan and and on Joe Rogan was, Steve Aoki.
Oh yeah.
I think it's Steve. Aoki. Yeah. Yeah. His stuff. It's all mostly electronic. Mm. So it depends on my mood.
Yeah.
I go back and forth all the time.
Yeah. I don't listen to a lot of music while I'm working a lot of the time. Which I kind of think is a bad thing. Cause whenever I am, I'm like so in it, but when I'm not, I'm just like, you know, maybe I'll get around to putting something on in the background.
Yeah.
I just feel like if I'm hearing like words while I'm working, I'm getting so distracted and
I have to now. I don't know why. I feel like maybe it's a problem because I feel like I have to have noise all the time.
Yeah, I'm the same. In a
when I go to bed and I have to have white noise too. Mm-hmm. So I always.
Oh my gosh,
I know, really? It's like really weird. I have to have a fan going.
Oh yeah, my roommate's like that too.
Yeah,
I think it's insane. I sleep through anything.
See, it is insane. I knew it.
Works for a lot of people though.
So. Yeah, I don't know. It's just it puts me to sleep. So goals for the future. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll say it again. Your stuff's really great. So where do you see it going? Like there's so many avenues.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you haven't heard, Procreate's coming out with an animation feature.
Ooh, I saw in the works.
December, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Mm. So my point there is now because within one app, $14, by the way, people.
It's so cheap. Get your hands on it.
You can do anything in it. So now they're just making it so that you can just like, it's one app for all these things.
Absolutely.
So do you see yourself doing any kind of animation or do you see mostly illustration or?
I've dabbled in animation quite a bit. I really love the process and it kind of teaches me like a lot of the time I like animating facial features or like mouths to really see the movement. Cause when you're saying a word, your mouth is like shifting in so many different ways.
Yep.
So that's interesting to me, but at the same time, it's so time consuming. I feel like animation is just a totally different realm in a way.
I have friends who are animators and it's just not like I thought that's what I wanted.
Oh sure, me too.
When I took an initial year at Sheridan, it's just a startup year and like people were going animation or illustration and I almost took animation.
Oh my goodness.
But it was like I don't know.
It's just a different beast.
Yeah, it is. And I couldn't see myself being stuck in like a cubicle drawing 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
But
it's similar to programming. I think it's very tedious work.
Yeah. But I think now because of the way things are now, I would love to see my stuff, you know, in motion like that. It'd be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten into some animation. I haven't posted any of my animations cause they're kind of crappy. I don't know. I just dabble in it a little bit and try to get a feel of frame rate and stuff. But
by the way, that one, we're going to take a break here like 1 minute. But I want to mention before we do that, there's a piece you have on Instagram and it's like the person at the train station.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Blew my mind.
Oh, thank you. Aww.
So when we come back, we're just going to talk about your approach and,
stuff you do. Yeah, for sure. Accessible tap loop.
Yeah. So this just, we're back. So this just, when I put this out, it just automatically sends it out to
That's so handy.
Spotify and stuff.
Okay.
It just does it for me.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. Okay. So I want to talk about, your process and like, because that piece that I mentioned there, mm-hmm. Because my stuff is it's really bold and like, I usually use the same approach. I have a certain kind of style where I use like a dark outline and then it's like a coloring book sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just color it in. Mm-hmm. I admire people who take the approach you take where it's very painterly too. Mm-hmm. So, it's funny you say your mom was an architect because mm-hmm. the train station, piece you did, it almost looks architectural, the way the lines are and but it's beautiful.
Thank you.
So tell me, it can be that one or any or one of your favorites. I also like the one where you have, there's a girl laying down and you can see the sun in your eyes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That one was fun.
So how do you start your drawing?
Well, like any drawing, I would start with a sketch. I like to work very big and kind of block in all of my elements before I really refine stuff.
Yeah.
I really have wanted to upload like my, you know, content process as well. I've been wanting to do that for so long and get into like a YouTube game as well. It's just so much to manage. Right?
I'm just starting on that. I have something in the works. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You absolutely should. I can take this podcast running with like, you know, cameras.
I wish that's maybe the next step. Yeah.
Ooh,
for sure.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I like to start big, refine into details after I kind of block in colors. I don't really think too much while I'm drawing, to be honest. Like I'm not really thinking.
So you just let it take over kind of.
Yeah. I'm not thinking about colors. I'm not really thinking about composition. I just kind of dive in.
Yeah.
Let my hand move around, you know?
Yeah. It's just great. Mm-hmm. So your approach to color too, I have a story about color because, so before I went to art school, I hated color.
Oh yeah.
I was afraid of it, like terrified of it.
Oh my goodness.
Because it just didn't, I just didn't work for me. Like I just didn't come natural to me. Mm-hmm. So everything was black and white.
I feel like your stuff is so bold though. It works so well without color that, you know.
Yeah. Well now, yeah, I feel like it kind of goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Like it can work, but, so at Sheridan, they kind of just stripped you down and built you back up. So you thought you knew something. No, you didn't know it. So they would teach. So I went through this rigorous like color theory thing.
Oh,
we had to create this like 10-page book on, you know, complementary colors.
Oh, goodness,
blah, blah. So that's why it fascinates me that someone who's had no training can just like create a mood with your color. Where does that come from?
I just think a lot of it's very intuitive. I used to really like working in black and white. I had a blog. This is really dumb. I had a blog when I was like 12 and all of it was black and white because I thought it was so, you know, pleasing to me somehow. And I didn't really do too much in color. Like it sort of spooked me a little bit too. But I feel like as a digital medium, it's so accessible to just play around with that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really easy for me to kind of just figure out what worked and what didn't. I feel like when you're, you know, building stuff like skin tone or, you know, lighting on something too, there's so many colors that people don't even realize it goes into something, like the undertones as well. So I focused on that. I like to do a lot of studies as well and kind of train myself a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing to be ignorant, not ignorant, but I think it's a good thing to know what you don't know, you know?
Yes.
So the second that I see something that I'm lacking, I'm like, let's get into this. Let's study this like hardcore.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's me with all my work.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're picking stuff up just by, experimenting and trying.
Experimenting, just doing it.
Yeah. And learning.
Mm-hmm. I got into my head quite a bit a while ago and I used to have a lot of anxiety around my art too.
Right.
And I used to be like, oh, my work sucks, all the stuff, you know, but I kind of have taken a different approach and I'm more so thinking like, okay, this sucks in my head. Why does it suck? And like, let's try to tackle that. Let's try to fix why that's happening in my brain, you know?
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did want to talk about that too. Cause mindset, like having that for me is a huge deal. Like when I'm working on something and I feel like shit or I'm doubting myself or, you know, something's going on that's bugging me. Mm-hmm. I can't give everything I have to what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've gotten to the point where most of the time I can train myself to be like, listen, snap out of whatever is going on.
Sure,
you have to dedicate to the moment of what you're doing, right? Especially when you have a deadline. So do you find that easy to do? Like if say you're in a funk, does it take you a bit to come out of it?
I feel like drawing for me, just because I'm not doing a lot of thinking, a lot of the time when I'm drawing, it's almost meditative for me in a way. But sometimes it can be really tough to just get into it in the first place. And I don't know, especially like anxiety is so prominent with me, especially around my drawings.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times if I am in that kind of mindset, I tend to overwork stuff a little bit.
Yeah. Keep talking. I'm going to grab a beer.
Oh, thank you.
There we go.
Oh so my gosh.
It's 10:15. Earliest beer in the podcast ever.
Holy moly. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited. Oh yeah. Okay. I don't even know what to say. Ooh, yes.
Okay. We'll take a beer break.
Yeah. Okay, so let's pop in. Anything is fine with me. Okay. Really. I love Ale House. Oof.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Or sorry, Publican House. Did I just say Ale House? I'm cheating on your brand.
Oh, that doesn't matter. It's okay. So Sebastian has the raspberry wheat and I have the square ale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited. I love the raspberry. Can I just like dive right in? I haven't even touched my tea.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Open it up.
Okay.
That's what we do. So then you got a whole, you
can,
ready? Yeah. There we go. 10:15 a.m.
Nice.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ooh, can I cheers?
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Little kink moment.
Okay. So, your process and so you're learning your, so do you, see, that's where sometimes when I'm, cause I said, I don't follow a ton of artists, but, but when I do, like when I look at, so there's this guy, Jason Seeler, who does stuff for Time Magazine and he's top of his game. My style is very different, but I look to him for, he'll do like mini tutorials. Mm-hmm. So I'll look at that stuff because there's certain things that because he works digitally too. Mm-hmm. He does both, but I look to him for that kind of stuff. So do you ever do that? Do you ever look to somebody and be like, you know, I want to learn this. And I'm going to go to this person to learn that? Or do you again, just wing it?
Kind of. It's a combination of things. Mm-hmm. I really feel bad because people always bring up artists to me and they're like, oh, have you seen this guy's stuff? And, you know, sometimes I'll click on their page and they have like a million something followers. And I'm like, how have I not seen this person's stuff? You know, I'm so out of it.
It's same here. It's like, I feel like I should know more about art in general.
Yeah, I don't.
I really don't know a lot.
I'm so bad for it. Yeah, I really am. No, for sure.
Yeah. So that's cool. So you're letting it all happen. You're happening it all organically. Yeah.
I'm truly winging it. Like I like to look to see other references. I like photography more than art itself, kind of. I don't know. Just because, you know, photography can tend to play with lighting and sometimes I'm interested in kind of how the light might hit a face or how the light might hit like a certain texture and play around, you know, drawing that a little bit. So that's kind of how I train myself in a way or study it a bit. But not so much other artists. I mean, photography is an art, but not so much
I get really impatient too. Like I don't know how people spend like months on a painting.
Oh my gosh.
Like the one behind you, the Joker one I did that into, well, three days at maybe 3 to 4 hours each.
3 to 4 hours each?
So, so like, I just, beyond that, I find myself at the end, okay, enough. So I just can't. And I think for me, that's what makes, like when I do illustration stuff, that's in my style, just kind of lends itself to that kind of quick pace.
But there's a lot of movement in your work too. I think you only find that with stuff that you are really quick about, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, have you thought about doing any live drawing?
I would love to so much. That's something I'd really love to get into. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Live drawing is fun. I don't know, but I just feel like it kind of hinders my creative ability a little bit. Like I love taking commissions. I love that kind of work as well.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like restricted a little by commissions because they're so, you know, you're drawing just a person.
I get fired up when because I do a lot of like corporate live events.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I get fired up when people are like watching me draw.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. It just, I don't know, it just does it for me. So,
I feel like to do it live might be different.
So I'll be at an event and people will just kind of come behind me and watch. And they usually ask like, hey, you know, are you cool with me kind of watching you draw?
I get kind of awkward when people watch me do my stuff. But at the same time, it kind of forces me to be very good. I don't know.
That's
in a way.
No, it's a good way to put it because that's how I feel. If the pressure, I guess you work well. Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Under pressure. Yeah, because otherwise, like sometimes I'll be sketching and I'm just making like a mess of my page and nothing's really coming out of it. But if people are watching me, I'm like, oh shit, I better like,
it's on.
Do something good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know. I'd be interested.
The entrepreneurial aspect of like being like a freelancer, right? How do you feel about that?
It's scary. This is my first time kind of delving into that a little bit. Like when I was with the restaurant,
I'm taking a picture.
When I was at the restaurant, I had that source of income where I know I'm making like at least this and this and this per month. And nowadays, like it's not as rigid where I know I'm making like $3,000 a month, something like that. It's kind of like a lot of up in the air. So that aspect is kind of, but at the same time, I'm just trying to approach it in different ways as well and see like, maybe I could get a more streamlined income coming from certain areas and you know, but I'm trying to dabble in different areas. I haven't really launched too much stuff just yet, but I want to go more into printmaking and t-shirt design and to stuff like that as well.
Smart.
Some kind of merch aspect. Yeah. You know?
It's taken me 20 years to do it full time. Just some perspective.
Well, I only got into art when I was like 18 and
it's amazing. Full-time. It's amazing.
It's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But you had a great point there. And at a young age, it's like crazy to hear, but you're already talking about creating different revenue streams.
Yeah. Revenue streams
for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm always doing because if one door shuts, then you have to make sure you've got three to four others open, right? And so that's like refreshing to hear.
It's hard to juggle at times, you know, because I have a million things that I want to start creating and I have all sorts of ideas. At the same time, like we were saying about kind of your own personal funk kind of holding you back a little bit, sometimes I get too in my head and I'm like, well, I want to produce this and this and this, but is my art really at a level where I want to put that on merch yet, you know?
Yeah, which, I still feel that way. I'm still like, I don't know. Are people even going to want this kind of thing? Like, I'm going to throw this on something. Do people care?
Yeah.
So I've, my workaround for that is to say, fuck that. And just do it because I want to do it.
Yeah.
And it usually, I tried to do a, I did like a, like a merch line for like 2 seconds.
Oh, sure.
And then I was like, I don't know. Really? But I think it's important to always be trying
to try
things,
new stuff,
right? Because if you're not taking these risks, then what's the point, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, do you feel? I mean, obviously, one of my questions was going to be: did you have family support behind your art?
Oh, I mean, sure. Yes and no. Like my grandma on my mom's side is very rigid about like, why are you not in university? Blah blah blah. And my grandpa's kind of the same way. But like my mom, because she has kind of a design background a little bit.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe that would change that, that would swing that in your favor.
I have a lot of artists in my family that kind of work in different methods. So my mom, for example, doing design, a lot of very technical drawings. And then her father did a lot of, it sounds kind of strange, but he did a lot of very Christian paintings.
Right.
So it was like very, you know, gold leaf everywhere. So that was inspiring in its own sense because it was oil paintings and just gorgeous stuff. And then my grandmother, I love her to death. She is, you know, like a second mom to me. And she does acrylic painting. She does drawings. So she kind of like.
So you have that in there.
Yeah, here and there. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I was really lucky because my family always, they were like, yeah, this is what you should be doing. But my grandpa was a layout artist in Toronto for his entire career, which is unheard of now. You can like staying in one career for 40-50 years, which would now be called a graphic designer because it was, you know, so I think that's really no one else in my family has any artistic ability.
Really had any. You know what? None of my friends really do either, or like my partner. Sometimes I'll draw something and he'll be like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, okay, thanks. You know,
I still get that. No, my wife is like my worst critic, which is great, which is really good for me.
Yeah.
But same. She's so used to it now. She's like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
I'm like, what?
I know.
That was fucking awesome. Look at this.
I'm like, I spent 5 hours working on this. Give me, you know, give me something to work on. Yeah. But yeah, so none of my, well, a lot of my friends have kind of gone off into the university stream of art.
Yeah.
And so the friends that I'm left with in Peterborough, they're not really in the game so much. So it's hard to, well, it is hard and it's not. Sometimes people who aren't in the art industry are like so good at criticizing in a way. And I'm like, oh, I appreciate it so much.
Well, the thing is, people realize you don't have to really have that creative side to you to understand it. I mean, people aren't stupid. Mm-hmm. Like they see something, they know they like it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
They may know not, they might not know why, but they know if something's good or not.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's, that can help me out in a way too, because sometimes I am too hard on myself and then people are like, oh, it's good. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes for me to be like, okay, yeah, I will post this. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you feel, because you said you came into this kind of later on, but have you always felt kind of like a pull towards art, or was it still just kind of like in the background?
I wouldn't say it was in the background. Like I loved it a lot. I just never took it seriously for a really long time. And I even had like my high school teacher at TAS was telling me, oh, you know, you're going to go into something art related. And at the time I was like, nah, no, I'm not. You know, I kind of had this mentality of like, oh, artists are starving. I don't want to do that to myself.
Yep.
but I mean, it's just hard work. It just pays off eventually. But I just never really thought I would be here, I guess. I never really assumed. A lot of people throughout my life would tell me, like, you're going to do something with art. And I was like, nah, you know, probably won't. But
do you feel a responsibility to do anything with it? Or could you just ditch it if you found something else?
If I found something else, I asked myself this time, like sometimes as well, what would I be doing if not art?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a ton of stuff that I really like.
Yeah.
And it's kind of my downfall too, because I'm always just dabbling in so much that I'm just so busy all the time. I love baking. I think baking has kind of an art aspect to it. I'm making a good cheesecake.
Do you know who Jen is from Emily May's Cookies?
No. Oh, I think they just followed me on Instagram. So
oh my God.
I'm not sure.
I had her on the podcast early on.
Nice.
And you should follow her. And she's opening up a store where you can do classes there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Her cookies are crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's bad to have these, like,
I feel like I'd find some industry that's like kind of related in a sense, you know, creatively.
Because the way things are now too, everything bleeds into everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like using Jen as an example, we've talked about collaborating on stuff already.
Oh, sure.
So there's like this
for cooking art.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, there's always, I mean, having those interests. I remember being in art school and being told, if you have one style,
I hate that.
Yeah. And we were told this by industry professionals.
Mm-hmm.
You have one style. If you divert from that one style, you're not going to get hired. Isn't that craziness?
It is crazy. But at the same time, when I find Instagram accounts that are like booming from their art, it usually is kind of in one style, which I respect.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people commission me though, and they're like, how much for your art? And that's such a broad question. I'm like, what style of art are you looking for? Like I do so many different things, I guess.
That's true. That's a good point too. Mm-hmm. My style is pretty consistent, but there's nothing saying that you can't take that and morph it into something else.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like into mural or into whatever. I mean, I think that's just pigeonholing. Like you have these young students coming out of school thinking, you know, oh my God, like I don't have myself figured out yet. Well, that scares people away from experimenting.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I think that is key to any kind of success.
Can I just interrupt and say this beer is so good?
Isn't it good?
It's so amazing.
There you go, Publican. Woo!
There you go. There's my sponsorship. Sponsor me, Publican.
We've only had so the mayor came on and she crushed her beer in like half an hour. So she did that. That was great. The first person to finish a beer on the show.
Oh my gosh.
And then Sam last week, destroyed that and had two.
Oh, good. Nice. Yeah, usually I'd be more in it. But
no,
I don't know.
There's another milestone. Yeah. So it's still early.
It is. So yeah. Earliest beer, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. What can't you draw? So I'll tell you. So you know when you're younger and you can't quite get it out of your head onto paper what you want to do?
Oh, sure.
I still can't draw a horse.
Oh, a horse.
So it's my, the bane of my existence. I can't, like, I've not that people approach me, draw a horse.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But it's one of those things where you're like, you just know you can't
do it.
Is there anything that you like, you just, you struggle with and you're just like, oh my God, you're beating yourself up. Like,
the horse one is a funny one because I feel like there are some people that like go hard into the horse culture and they're just like always drawn horses. Not me. I probably would answer the same. I don't know. In terms of stuff I can't draw, like I said, if I feel like I'm lacking in some department, I'm always going to focus in that area.
Yeah.
I feel like, gosh, stuff I can't draw. Recently, I realized that I don't do a lot of background art. And so I kind of dove into that a little bit. I'm really trying to think about stuff.
It's that, no, that's another one for me. Nature for me is a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. I've tried to take a very loose approach with nature because I find some stuff can be a little too rigid and then it just doesn't look natural, you know?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh.
What about the human body?
The human body.
Your stuff seems to be good.
I'm comfortable with the human body, yeah. I love, like, my students are always like, I can't draw hands, I can't draw feet.
Those are tough.
They are tough, but once you start practicing and you kind of understand like the bones behind everything.
You just posted one. I think you did a sketch of a bunch of hands.
Bunch of hands, yeah. I love sketching hands.
Holy shit.
You're fun, yeah.
So good.
It's all just shapes and, joints and stuff like that, yeah.
That's what I tell people when I'm drawing characters live. Mm. They'll ask you, how do you do this? It's literally just lines and shapes.
Yeah, it's just shapes.
You just end up training your mind to be like, because people get freaked out when you're drawing them, of course.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like you're staring at me. I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
I say, I don't mean this to be impersonal, but like, I'm not really looking at you like a person.
Exactly. I know it feels.
I'm drawing your, the lines that make up your face and the space in between those shapes, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Do you look at things like that or
100% of the time I'm always sketching, I'm always looking at stuff as like I like to look at things sort of like a plane and then seeing the angles on the plane and like where they would fall on that plane. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. I'm kind of just
it 100% makes sense.
Yeah
like points of view that
points of view perspectives. So a lot of the time I'm looking at like where the shapes are in a room more so like than the room itself in a way, if that makes any sense at all. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Might not make sense for non-artistic folk, but
No, it does. And a lot of the time, like, I feel like half the time I'm winging it anyway.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like yeah.
Again, when you try to dissect things too much, it's like, that doesn't make any sense to me even. Like, I don't
know. Sure. Yeah. Trying to express it a little bit. I try to teach my students that 100% of the time. Like, if you're drawing something, to just block out everything before you get into that drawing, block out the shapes, block out the colors, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to learn anything and you're not going to progress your art unless you're like studying the big picture. If you're like so focused on details, it's going to be really hard to progress. And
that's a great point too.
Your work.
Yeah. That comes later. Sure. I feel if you can get the overall composition and something down, then work into the drawing. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard because I don't know how to approach my students in a way because I'm like, there's so many different levels in each classroom.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I always get really self-conscious when I'm teaching.
Really?
Because, which is really dumb because you're teaching like, you know, whatever, 10-year-olds who are starting from zero.
Yeah.
And, but I always feel like I should be doing like a really good job. So if anyone's not interested, I get like the sweats and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong?
All rigid, like,
yeah.
I felt bad. Just recently I have a teen drawing course that I'm teaching and, yesterday it was just last night. So a lot of the time I'm finding that kids really like to just have a project and go into it and they don't really want me to be telling them what to do so much. And then there's one kid in that class that's so advanced and he's telling me like, when are you going to go over techniques? And I'm really trying to balance it back and forth, but I'm like, oh, half the class really doesn't care about techniques. And then this one kid is like,
same. So I always find that tough too.
Yeah.
Where you have to like gauge kind of where everyone's at,
where
and like
everyone is,
give individual attention that way. I always found that really tough.
It's tricky. I found I can just like make time kind of at the end of my lesson to just, you know, sit down with that kid a little bit more and chat with them. But it's
for
tricky.
Sure. Yeah.
It's really tricky.
I don't know why this popped in my head. I think because I'm looking at my life drawings over there. But I remember in art school, I had our life drawing teacher said to me, because Sam was, he had just been born. And he was like maybe one or something. And she said, oh, you have a kid. Oh, that's cool. I said, yeah. She goes, when he's old enough and he puts a pencil in his hand to draw, slap the pencil out of his hand.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, that sounded so
ridiculous. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, a little bit.
She goes, do not let him get into the field of art.
Whoa, okay.
This is, by the way, my life drawing teacher at Sheridan College in illustration.
Holy shit, okay. That's brutal.
I just felt the need to bring that up. Because
yeah, that's funny though.
Because we're talking about teaching, we're talking about life drawing. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important that, I mean, that's... I was already in post-secondary for her to say that. For her to say that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important now to even like at the art school level that you're doing with the kids, it's like life-changing for kids. And even if they don't end up doing it full-time, which 80-90% won't, for their self-esteem and for, just growth all around and thinking differently and creating things, approaching things differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found is it just fosters confidence and, I think we need a whole lot more of that out there for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And
the
arts program here in town too, when I tell people, when I'm out of town and I tell people about it, they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have an arts program.
I know. It's incredible.
Yeah. Do you see I know it's early on, but do you see teaching kind of something that you'd want to continue
progress?
Doing? Yeah.
I mean, I like teaching, keeps me busy, and if I'm doing a lesson plan at home too, that kind of, it really helps me lay things out a little bit and reteach myself.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I would go into it. It's just, it is time consuming. And I said, there's so much I'm juggling constantly that, it's hard to dedicate, a good chunk of time to just teaching, because I want so much to produce my own stuff. I want to create my own stuff. And that's where my passion lies is making stuff rather than, explaining to other people how to make stuff.
Oh, sure.
Which I've considered, I've always wanted to do kind of tutorial-esque stuff,
That's what I'm going to start doing next month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
But you're right. It's when you commit to something, you want to give it 100%.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do that when you also are thinking about other things all the
time.
It's stuff that you want to do on your own. Right.
Yeah. That's kind of why commission work for me, it's not stuff that I want to be making creatively in a way a lot of the time. So for me, I'm if I'm finishing work and I'm getting home, I want to make something that, that inspires me a little bit rather than something,
Yes.
I don't know, which sounds terrible. I'm so grateful for
No, I feel the same way.
Pressure of work.
Yeah. When stuff comes in that I'm doing that pays the bills, I love doing it, but, you want that, when I did my paintings or when I do my, the Joker one over there, it was just, it's breathing. Yes, I can do this now. It's for me. It's just for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doing stuff for yourself is just so important.
Totally. Mm-hmm. We're going to take another quick break.
Okie dokie.
We're back. So my other question, and I just started asking this cause I was reflecting on it myself. What's your source of power? So I'm more of a Spider-Man fan now. I was a massive Superman fan.
Okay, yeah.
So, of course, he gets his power from the sun. So I get my power from if things are going really well at home.
Oh, yeah.
And, everyone's happy. My wife is happy. The kids are happy.
Mm-hmm.
That carries me through the day, right? So what is it that kind of pumps you up or keeps you going?
I want to say initially I kind of got my kick out of not necessarily spite, but almost in spite of myself because I was so bummed out about my work. And so I was like, I want to kick that in the butt and just get into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's my source of power? I think it's really so motivational. Like I said before about kind of being bummed out about your work sometimes.
Yeah.
That's almost a sense of power to me because it really forces me to tackle stuff that I'm uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And get into areas that I've never dabbled in before. And I think it's so neat. Yeah, in that sense.
That's good. Yeah. That is an important one. And I think for people everyone does gets into funks of whatever line of work they're doing. If you can recognize that and you've got that in your brain, like, oh, this is happening now. You're self-aware and turning that around. That is 100% a source of
I
power.
I think like entrepreneurship and like getting into your own field, that sort of self-awareness is so important to progressing your work. I run into so many artists that are so confident about their stuff and they're not necessarily progressing in any way. And they're just like, I'm the best, buy my work. And, you know, that's great because they get their name out there and, you know, self-promotion is so important, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's a little uncomfortable.
A little bit.
It's kind of like no one.
It's very high and mighty, you know.
It is. Yeah, I find that weird because, everyone's still there. Everyone's should be anyway. Always striving for better, or always growing.
Absolutely.
So to feel like, say at 25 or 30, that you've made it and that's it, you're done. Mm-hmm. This is it. I'm the shit. It's not going anywhere else.
That's
a weird
I run into it so often, especially on Instagram. Cause I feel like on Instagram, you're always promoting kind of your best self in a way.
Yeah.
And so I run into it, like, I like to be very honest with people and, you know, let people know when I'm going through a tough time, let people know when art is kind of on the back burner a little bit. But for some people it's like, oh, you know, my work is great, buy my work. You know?
That kind of authenticity, which gets thrown around a lot, word, that is the real deal. So, so telling like how you're really feeling, is really refreshing because now, because things are progressing and things like Instagram are becoming of age. There's like quote unquote authentic people.
Oh, sure.
And who are like
my best life.
Who actually say, you know, I'm being authentic. Like you should need to say that.
Authentically me.
Cliche. We're getting to the point now where people are recognizing when, that's not really.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think I just lived so much of my life kind of in wraps. And, you know, I always wanted people to have this sense of me where I just live a very like normal, you know, all good life. Everything's good, you know, no anxiety, no struggles. And I just felt the second that I started telling people really how I'm feeling, there's just a weight that's lifted off of me. And suddenly I can actually express myself and
that's the super positive thing about social.
There's
both good and bad, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
But you're going to have people that resonate with that big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're helping people.
I mean, in a way, I hope so.
Yeah. That's what you're doing for sure. Because, you know, there's especially being in a creative industry where you're working for yourself and the pressure is sometimes pretty intense.
Oh, yeah.
If you're speaking to those people and you're saying, listen, I'm producing amazing stuff, but I'm still feeling like shit today.
You know,
that's important.
Everybody goes through it. And I get a lot of messages and I try my best to reach out to people too, if they're kind of going through a tough time too, because, you know, it's just so hard to deal with it on your own.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we have that power now where you can just
you have that
DM
outlet.
Somebody, hey, you know, I've been there. I know I'm going through it or whatever.
It's handy. And I do get a lot of messages that are quite personal as well. Like you're kind of helping me manage certain stress or manage certain stuff. And
Awesome.
I'm not at a following base where I'm like so prolific that, you know, I don't get back to people, but for whatever reason, every time I answer somebody in the DMs, they're like, oh, I can't believe you responded. And I'm like, I just, you know, I have like 5,000 followers. That's not overwhelming for me. I can answer people, you know,
but even with people who have 100 followers, they just don't feel like they want to do that.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To reach out to people. That sense of community, right?
Yeah. And it is a social media platform. Like it's for social purposes.
That's
I want to be social on it. You know, I want to reach out and communicate with people. Mm-hmm.
So we'll end it out soon, but I want to get, and again, something I ask everybody is advice you would have for, people coming up.
Branch out as much as you can. I don't know why I'm just learning this, but like the second that I started the art school, all of a sudden I have like all these opportunities coming every which way. So branch out, try to get yourself out there a little bit. I would say, like we were saying before, self-reflecting is huge.
Yeah.
Cause you can only learn so much in school, and people talk about university like it's life-changing, and it is. It gives you a lot of,
that's a whole other conversation that we need to have.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like having, and then, I will diverge here for a sec.
Sure. Yeah.
But like, things are, even over the last 10 years, are so insanely different as far as what you can learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's
so
online.
Accessible. Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Anything you would need to know, especially if you're creative, there's a million and one tutorials on how to do whatever you want to do. So I think there's way too much pressure. And I said it in the last podcast too, with Sam, my son.
Yeah.
He was in a program that he's like, eh. I'm like, what are you doing? I said, just don't waste the money.
Yeah.
Like just explore. You're so young. Mm-hmm. Take time. Do whatever you're going to do to make you happy for a bit. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's why I kind of got into a funk about artwork, because I really assumed, you know, everybody's going into university. Everybody around me was going into university. It just kind of felt like the thing to do.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of down about my work because I wasn't following this very streamlined process.
Yeah.
And with that, that's kind of where the spike came in, where I was like, you know what? I am going to do this. I'm going to like force myself out of the loop a little bit. And some people think I'm crazy. Some people think, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I don't know. But
you have to do what's you have to
do what's right for you.
What's you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And kind of silence those voices a little bit.
I'm not
right?
saying university is like a bad way to go. In fact, my students, when they talk about it, I'm like, yes, please consider it. Consider your options for sure.
Oh,
absolutely. But the thing about self-growth is, like, once you're out of school, you still want to be learning all the time. You know, you never want to stop. So really just
always trying to get better. I think that's the number one message.
Avenues kind of open, so you're learning from anything and everything.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so plug your, your social.
Okay, I'm at BurgerFace on everything. BRGR Face. That's my website as well, BurgerFace.com.
Awesome. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, check it out.
It's not up and running just yet, but it probably will be when this podcast.
Oh, cool.
Like, it's kind of in construction right now, and it has been for a while.
Well, the podcast will be up in probably 45 minutes.
Okay, great. I'll get to it then.
Get cracking.
All right.
So it was a real, real pleasure.
Thank you.
And I love part of what you do pisses me off because you're so good. So take that as a compliment.
I can say the same for your work. It's so prolific. I see your stuff everywhere.
Oh, thanks.
All the time. Yeah.
Thanks. I'll obviously keep an eye on what you're doing, and then
thank you.
We'll stay in touch, and I really appreciate it. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Publican. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.